The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard.
You know, things are not good, and this movie is one way that we can get it back. Rick, I also want, this is very important because your part in the story is very important, as are all of the survivors who have told their story, who have had the opportunity to tell their story. You in particular love flags, you told me.
Absolutely. And
yeah, the Israelis, one of their lies, one of their disgusting lies, was that there was no American flag flying, so we didn't know that it was a U.S. ship. They had no flag flying. Could you tell the listeners really what a bunch of crap
nonsense that really is?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we have muster each morning at quarters about 8 a.m. each morning, and we mustered on the main deck each morning. And every morning at muster, I would always look up at the main mast and watch the flag up there because I just like to watch it flying up there on that main mast. And, of course, the morning of June the 8th, the flag was flying up there because I saw it with my own eyes. I mean, you know, every morning was my thing to do was to look up at the mast and see the flag flying. And, you know, I was in muster and we were there, and there was definitely a flag on that mast. As sure as I'm sitting here today, there was a mast on that, the flag on that mast that day. And you can't tell me there was no flag. In fact, that flag was shot down quite a number of times during the attack. And we have something we call holiday colors that they fly during you know, holidays, like throughout the year. And the flag is a huge flag. It's a, you know, 16 feet by whatever the heck it is. It's a huge flag that they fly during holidays. And most ships do that when they're either usually in port. Underway, you don't usually fly there because they get, you know, torn up and damaged and stuff. But when you're in port, you fly holiday colors. Well, they shot down a couple of the other flags that were up there, and our signalman actually hoisted holiday colors up on that mast. And how could you miss that gigantic flag is beyond me. And, you know, they shot that down also. So, I mean, it's just, you can't tell me there was no flag flying. In fact, I've got one of the flags that I went up on the are you there? Are you there, David?
Go ahead. Yeah, continue.
I'm sorry. Okay. I heard an echo. I wasn't sure what was going on. But I have a flag that I found on the deck at home, put away, that has bullet holes in it and pieces of shrapnel on it. So you can't tell me that didn't... How did the bullet holes get in this flag? They just didn't appear out of nowhere.
Exactly. Rick, hold, stay on the line there. We have another caller, Betty from North Carolina. Mike, can we have Betty?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Betty. What would you like to say? You have any comment or question?
I'd like to say that the victory of getting this public is something I've been rejoicing over for the last couple of days, say. And since it's 50 years old, I can see where the propagandists are allowing it maybe to come forward. But at the same time, it seems to me that the traitor of Hillary and the sale of the uranium and the Bureau of Land Management and Connally is being heard, but it's a distraction from this, and because it's immediate and it's not really coming out because this is coming up. Anyway, the traitors, both things are traitors. And I just wanted to call in and say that for the last couple of days, it seemed like I smelled a rat going on. Is that
all I needed to say? I appreciate that, and thank you for your kind words about the project that we're going to get out. We have Wes from Idaho. Mike, can we get Wes on?
Thank you for taking my call. Marine architect, and I followed this thing of the Liberty for quite some time, and I thought that the torpedo hit a rib, and a well-trained crew responded and got the ship watertight, but now I'm surprised to just be hearing this. The ship did not, the crew could not get watertight integrity. God had to have his hand to keep his ship afloat. It's just amazing to me. Are we all the same, really? Romans 9:13 and Malachi 1:3 says,
Can I interrupt him for a second? We did have watertight. We did have watertight integrity on the ship. We checked our hatches and well, we definitely did. The place we didn't have watertight integrity at the point was when the torpedo had hit. It ruptured a few decks, obviously, and that down in the research area where the scuttle was open, and we were pulling men out of the scuttle. Of course, the water level was coming up, and that's where we had to finally close that scuttle and seal the ship again. But there was watertight integrity on the ship. We always kept her up to speed as far as that goes. We tested those hatches periodically to make sure everything was proper.
Well, the crew had to be well trained and respond well, but
yes,
I had heard that Phil had said they were unable to get watertight integrity. And how do you keep a boat afloat if it does not have watertight integrity? Anyway, are we all the same? Romans 9:13 and Malachi 1:3, New and Old Testament. Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate. More of, are we all the same? Jesus, John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the less of your father you will do. Myself, I am like Rick Adams, who is another host on RBN, and Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, who wrote the book that so often people are referring to, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, Synagogue of Satan. And I'm trying to tell you people, who are they? I know you're going to have a hard time accepting this. It's called pathological altruism. You don't want to believe it, but the white race is Israel of the Bible, and the Jews are not. They are Esau. God hates them, and I can see why.
Wes, you're absolutely right about what you're saying. However, we need to concentrate on the USS Liberty today. Today is the 50th anniversary, and I couldn't agree with you more. I'm a good friend with Andy Hitchcock, and I appreciate all his work and appreciate your call. And we have another caller here. Mike, can we have Tony in Puerto Rico? Puerto Rico. Up there? Tony's gone? Okay. Maybe Tony will call back. Rick, go ahead. Did you want to tell listeners anything more about the attack and the case of mistaken identity?
Well, there. I don't know if anybody knows about that book that was written by a guy named by Jay Crystal, I believe it was, that was employed by Israel to write the book called Attack on the Liberty, I believe it was called, some similar name like that.
It was the Liberty Incident. It was just an incident. It was just an incident. Yeah. That's all it was. It was nothing more.
What I want to say about that book, that after a bunch of us on the crew and looked at that book and saw some of the photographs that were actually supposedly taken from the planes that while they were attacking us, from their gun mounts and their gun sights. When we really closely looked at those photographs, we found out that every one of those photographs was doctored. Now, something that people there were flames and fires where we never had fires, and other crazy things that were not correct on those photographs. One main thing is, now people probably don't understand this now, though. When a Navy ship is underway, I mean she's out to sea, we fly the flag from the main mast up on the main mast. When a Navy ship is in port, we fly our flag from the stern of the ship on the flagstaff, and we fly the jack staff on the bow, which is the Navy jack that we fly. Okay? Now, if you look at one of those photographs and look at it closely and you examine the stern of the ship of one of these pictures that they had, you notice that the flag is flying from the stern. And that's, like, totally wrong, and we'd never, ever do that when we're underway. So that was a picture that was taken of the USS Liberty when we were coming into Little Creek, Virginia, and they docked that ship up. And where the tug was pushing us in, they made it black like it was flames and smoke. And there are other pictures. Every one of those pictures we looked at was the same kind of nonsense on there, that we picked out all kinds of mistakes in those pictures. So we know every one of those pictures were doctored and they were not really true pictures from those gun mounts, from those airplanes. A very interesting point.
Yeah, this piece of garbage here that you're talking about, this Ahron J. Crystal, and that's all he is. As a matter of fact, he pissed off so many people that, of course, Ward Boston, who was part of the Naval Court of Inquiry with Admiral Kidd, he came forward and he said, I've been quiet for all this time and I can't anymore. The Liberty was attacked deliberately. Israel knew it. I knew it, Admiral Kidd knew it, and this Israel apologist, who's a Jewish American, by the way, a bankruptcy attorney in Miami, he's coming out and trying to make light of this. And that's what I was saying earlier. It's the American Jews who are getting in the way of getting this story out. Go ahead, Rick.
Mm-hmm. What I was going to say is that he never even interviewed one crew member to write that book. How could you write a book that way, interviewing a crew member that knows the story and knows and were there? None of us ever spoke to this guy.
Exactly. We stay on, Rick. We have David from Massachusetts and then Peter from Los Angeles. Mike, can you get David from Massachusetts on?
Hello? Hello?
Hello. Hello.
David?
Yeah, James?
David, I'm here, and so is Rick, Rick Ametti. Yes, go ahead, David.
Yeah, Dave Dahari, right?
That's correct.
Am I speaking with Dave Dahari?
You are.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Dave, listen, I enjoy, you know, your articles in American Free Press and so on and so forth. But, hey, I have to, and I think it was just an oversight. I'm sure you didn't do it intentionally, but a few callers back when somebody asked you if anybody in Congress ever went to bat for the Liberty, if anybody in Congress, if any congressman ever stood up for the Liberty crew, you seem to indicate that no congressman ever stood up for the Liberty. Well, you're half right.
What I said was he asked, did we implore any congressmen today that exist today? And I said, there are none today. There were some. And the ones that recently did stand up for the Liberty, the Israel lobby got them out. Maybe you missed that part.
No, I heard that, Dave. That's why I'm calling in. But I think you should have mentioned Cynthia McKinney. She sacrificed her whole political career for the cause of the USS Liberty. Why not mention
that? Actually, David, that's actually who I was alluding to when I said that the Israel lobby got him out. And I've interviewed Cynthia McKinney, and I know all about her. But right now, at this point, there is not one American congressman or senator who gives a hoot and a holler about the U.S. Liberty and would ever go to bat for him. Yes, Cynthia McKinney did, and the Israel lobby got rid of her. And that's what I was saying.
Okay, yeah, but I think you should, you know, I just think you should have mentioned her name, but because if people don't know, people aren't going to know who you're talking about unless you mention her name. But, hey, listen, I'll just close by saying, you know, that's a perfect example of how God works in mysterious ways. The one congressman who was a black congresswoman that stood up for the Liberty, a black woman, but none of the white scum would stand up for the Liberty. But a strong black woman stood up for the crew of the Liberty. Now, doesn't God work in mysterious ways?
I think you're right, Hello? David. Hello? Yes, I think you're right. And I think that, you know, people who want to not pay attention to the whole black, white, Jew thing, I think they're wrong. I think that it does come into play, and you cannot just ignore it. And I think that, unfortunately, that there are way too many whites who are traitors to their own race. And yes, I think it is interesting that here you have a black woman who stands up for the liberty, and all the whites are sitting there and saying nothing about it. Dave, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. And thank you for your kind words about my writing in American Free Press. And, Mike, can we get the next caller, Pete, in Los Angeles? And then we have a bunch of other ones, so let's get them all on.
Yeah, hi. My name is Peter.
Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to make the point that ever since the Liberty, which was, in my opinion, a watershed, because it showed the Jewish lobby here and the state of Israel that they could literally murder American citizens, American servicemen, and on the high seas, knowingly, and knowing that we know that they did it that way, and with impunity, with no repercussions. And I trace from that moment the ultra aggressiveness that has basically allowed them to dominate. I'm talking about Israeli firsters dominating our foreign policy to the point where we've gone to war with Iraq and, you know, Syria now and Lebanon, Syria and Libya and all these other places, the Middle East. It hasn't been for our good. We just do their work for them. Let's you and him fight. That's their foreign policy. It stems from the Liberty and how liberated it was that they could murder Americans and get away with it.
You're exactly 100% right about that. And in fact, not just that, and not just the fact that Israel was rewarded for the massacre of American citizens on the high seas in international waters with high-tech military equipment. Besides that, we can actually trace the cause of terrorism in the United States to the attack on the Liberty, because prior to the attack on the Liberty 50 years ago today, the only terrorism that existed in the United States was from Puerto Ricans. There was no such thing as Arab terrorism, Muslim terrorism. What caused that, what precipitated that, was Israel's illegal land grab that the Liberty was trying to listen in on, to let people know, yes, Israel wants to grab these lands. It was a preemptive strike against Egypt, which was the United Arab Republic back then, and Syria and Jordan. They weren't the innocent victims that they want people to believe. They lied to the media. It was because of that, because the Liberty couldn't relay that message, that we have the terrorism in the world today because of Israel. So, yeah, you're 100% right.
Can I ask a question really quickly? And that is, I'd like to know, for how many years after the incident, after you guys, if any, after you were discharged, did you guys get warnings or official warnings from the military or from the U.S. government or whoever? After you guys got out of the military, was there any contact that was threatening to you from us?
The warnings were given to us prior to us even getting out of the service. We had one of the admirals come on board, took off his stars, interviewed us, and he had said to us, "Now I'm going to become the admiral again. I'm putting my stars back on again. And if any of you repeat this to any of your family, friends, press, anyone, we'll make sure you wind up in Leavenworth and you'll never be heard from again." So that threat was given to us prior.
Was there anything after that, though?
Nobody contacted me personally afterwards, because we all kept our mouths shut. I mean, my mom and my family would say something. I would just say, well, it was just one of those things, and just pass it off and never say anything. The only time that we were able to speak again is when Jim Ennis came out with his book.
Wow. Right back.
Well,
thank you so much for your call, Peter. We appreciate it. And we'll come back and get the other callers, Carol in Idaho, Ed in Utah, and John in Texas.
No reason to get Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
In your room yet?
We are back. We are back again, and let's get right to the callers. Carol in Idaho. Can you get Carol in Idaho on mic, please?
Hello.
Carol, do you have a comment or question?
Yes, I do. Is this Dave?
This is Dave, Carol.
Hello?
Yeah, yes, okay. This is Dave. Hi. Yes. Hi.
My best to you, Dave, and to Rick and all the other wonderful people there. I apologize
much.
That I was not able to get the first 40 minutes of the show. I just was out on an appointment, and anyway, so I tuned in late, and so I wanted to ask, has there been any discussion or any input regarding President Donald Trump acknowledging today's anniversary?
Of course not. Of course
I'm
not.
I'm not sure if any of us contacted him, but... we haven't heard anything
okay.
from him yet.
But yeah.
I'm sure he's kind of his own problems.
I wanted to call. I know he has a big job and all of that, but I just kind of want to apologize for the fact that our president has had no time to make any kind of a comment in support of what these dear people, these veterans, went through 50 years ago and are still suffering to this day, the survivors. Anyway, I remember when President Trump made his first address to the joint session of Congress, and he spoke for maybe a half hour, and he slowed his voice down at the point where he said, "And we are going to always be very faithful friends of Israel." Now, that's one wanted to throw something at my television at that point. Now, the other thing is, just a few days ago, there was a report circulating on the Internet to the effect that Donald Trump had gone to this hospital, and it happened that Melania was there visiting children with cancer, but the president went to visit specifically this wounded wounded Afghanistan veteran. He was an amputee. And so I wrote an email to, as close as I could get, to Donald Trump's supporters groups, and I said, this is wonderful, the love that you've shown for this terribly wounded soldier, but I will be most happy and most proud of you of all, President, Mr. President, if you will make a public appearance at the 50th anniversary of the USS Liberty. And of course, you know, that may have gotten to him and probably not. But I just want to say that Israel, as we all know, is the problem. Israel is the reason that America is in the dregs, and she's destroyed morally and politically and every otherwise. That's all. I'll let you go, but God bless you all, and truth will out, and your reward, the crown, is still ahead of you. So thanks for all your faithfulness, and you too, Dave. Thanks for all you do for the cause.
Thank you very much for that. I really do appreciate that. And we all do.
Yeah, and you're 100% right. That is the cause of most of the misery in the world. Mike, can you get Ed in Utah on?
Hello.
Hey, Ed. What's going on? Gentlemen? Do you have a comment or question?
Yes, I do. You can hear me, right?
Absolutely. Loud and clear.
Okay. I really appreciate you folks coming on today. I really do. I have Phil Turney's book, What I Saw That Day. I'll be making further contributions to your folks' effort. I'm a longtime listener here at RBN and a caller, financial contributor. But I also want to make a point on the historical part of things here. And just to let that last caller know, yeah, there's no way Donald Trump does not know about this. I realize all the goings on in his situation, but he did disappoint the Israelis last week when he refused to move the U.S. Capitol from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That gave me some hope that he might do a tweet today. It still is possible. I have called his live line and let his high-level staffers know how I feel and others feel. I've also called several congressmen and let their staffers, in one case the chief of staff, know about today and why they're not acknowledging it and just basically getting on their case a bit. Also, though, it's kind of a shout-out here to, in kind of in line with all of you folks there, Phil and Dave. I want to mention the American Free Press. John Wayne was an original contributor and subscriber to American Free Press when they were the Spotlight newspaper. And the Spotlight newspaper was the forerunner, in my mind, to RBN. I financially support both of them. The Spotlight is what launched James Ennis's book and the whole story of the USS Liberty. And they were forever dubbed, of course, anti-Semitic and what have you. And John Wayne and the late Taylor Caldwell, great American author, these people were on the ground floor of helping the story of the USS Liberty and the other causes in the Patriot community.
And Jim Ennis turned his back on American Free Press. We'll be back to get John in Texas. Broadcasting
Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
I hate to get in the way of this show. I mean, this song. It's a great song. But, yeah.
David.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to do it here. But, hey, Rick, were you saying something before the break?
Yeah, I was going to say, Bill LeMay is here. I'm going to pass it along to him. Maybe he can answer some of the calls from some of your listeners now also. Give it a different point of view except for my own.
Well, Rick, you were great, and thank you for coming on and telling your story and living with this for 50 years, my friend, and looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. I'm going to pass this along. Thank you, and thank your audience for you know, supporting us. I really appreciate that, and so does the crew.
Thanks.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Billy, how are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Or should I say Mickey?
Mickey's fine. Either
all right.
One.
Well, let's go right into some of the remaining calls, and then we're going to get into your story because you have a fascinating story, Mickey, that the listeners, they can read about it in the book, of course, but they can hear it right from the horse's mouth. So, Mike, can we get you got John back from Texas. Can we get John and then Ramsey from, looks like, Canada?
Hello?
Hello? John, are you there from Texas?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
You loud and clear. You have a comment or question?
Okay, yeah, hi, guys. Hey, I have a question. I don't watch TV or the movies, but I'm looking forward to watching this movie. I have a question. Can you elaborate on the story regarding Johnson when he said he wanted to sink that GD ship to the bottom? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of the things that people want to believe, that Johnson said he wanted to see the ship on the bottom. I couldn't get any verification that he actually said that, although there definitely were some people in the intelligence community that had voiced the opinion that they would hope that the Liberty sank on its way to Malta because it was an embarrassment. What Johnson actually said was that he ordered the planes back, which is a complete treasonous disgrace. If you can imagine that you have called the police because someone has broken into your home and they're trying to rape your wife or your daughter, and they have you, they're trying to tie you up, you call 911, and you... you get the police and they send out a squad car, and then the chief of police calls a squad car back and says, yeah, we'll be there. Just give us 18 hours. That's what happened. And Johnson facilitated that. So whatever it is he said, he did just that. He prevented help, which is it's just mind blowing. If you think about it, that a Navy ship is under attack. But the reason that he did was because he had Jewish Americans and Jewish American Zionists surrounding him. They were infested in his administration, and this is just a fact. So this is what happened, and they were actually spying for Israel while they were sitting right next to Johnson. So he was in a position that that really prevented him and precluded him from doing anything. Of course, he could have said, yes, let the planes go to the rescue and stood up to Israel, but he wasn't about to do that. So that's exactly what happened. And really, he should have been hung. I mean, there's just nothing more than I can think of. Let's take Ramsey from Canada, and then we're going to get into Billy LeMay's story.
Hello?
Ramsey, are you calling from are you calling from up north, or are you our neighbor to the north?
I'm calling from Canada, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Ramsey.
Yeah. You see, sir, I have a question. Did Israel... Israel contacted the Jewish lobby prior to the bombing of the Liberty, am I right? Like the Jewish lobby was aware that the ship was going to be bombed in advance, so they knew that they would block any investigation, and just like you said, they pressured Johnson to forget about the whole thing. Am I right?
Well, nobody's saying that the the Jewish lobby, that's an anomalous term, but what happened? The facts are that Johnson surrounded himself with American Jews whose loyalty was more to Israel than to the United States. The attack on the Liberty, it is believed, because the United States, another disgraceful part of this whole episode is that the United States never attempted to interview anyone in Israel about this. That's like, you know, a criminal attacking you and you not going to the criminal and asking them or interrogating them. Another total treasonous disgrace. It's believed that it was Moshe Dayan who hatched this plan. And, you know, there's evidence of this, CIA evidence of this, and that he wanted to sink it because he didn't want the Liberty listening in to Israel's illegal land grab plans, their massacre of the hundreds and hundreds of Egyptian prisoners of war. And also, I just was informed of the torture of Egyptian wives, some of them pregnant. It seems like these people will stop at nothing to get what they want, and a lot of people say that has to do with how they're taught, you know, in the Talmud, and it seems like that's the case.
But, sir,
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
See, sir, I know that Moshe Dayan and these people, but see, sir, my question is, did Israel inform the lobby before the bombing happened? Like, did the Jewish lobby already know that the ship was going to be bombed in the first place?
Yes, before the attack. I think, from my research, what you call the Jewish lobby, I'll call them Jewish spies, Jewish-American spies, what these traitors, what these dirtbags knew about was that Israel was going to launch a preemptive attack on its Arab neighbors. They told that to Johnson. Johnson was under extreme domestic political pressure because of the Vietnam War and because of the American Jews who played a big part in opposing the Vietnam War. In fact, they were so prominent in opposing the Vietnam War, there was a pin out during that time that said you don't have to be Jewish to be against the Vietnam War. So, no, there's no direct evidence that the American Jews who were spying for Israel that were in Johnson's administration and beyond, that they knew that the Liberty was about to be attacked.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, sure. I think that was the last caller for now. Mickey, thanks for waiting so long.
No problem.
Why don't you tell the listeners, what happened that day? Of course, I know. But you were actually, you were up on deck, and you were at, I think, the highest point of the ship. And you were doing something with a light up there, a searchlight. Why don't you start with that? Tell listeners what happened and how you came to, because you were actually the first person on board the ship, I think, that saw the attacking jets.
That may be true. I know I just got up what we call the 04 level, where the Carbonac Arch searchlight was, and I was going up there to check it to see if it was still working. And as I arrived on that top platform, I noticed a fighter. It was black, unmarked, going along the same way the ship is. And there was a lieutenant on up there identifying the planes as they flew over. So I turned and told him, I said, "Sir, did you see that fighter?" And he goes, "No, where is it?" And I turned to point to it. And as I pointed to it, another plane came from the bow on the starboard side and strafed us from bow to stern across the ship. And, of course, I was hit with shrapnel there, and so wasn't the lieutenant. And I looked at him, and he was bleeding just the way I was. Holes all over the place, and I said, "I'm getting the heck out of here," and I thought he followed me, but he didn't, and I believe they found his body up there later on. I hit the ladder, ran into the ship, and that's when my body realized that my left leg had been shattered, and I couldn't stand anymore, so of course I fell to the deck, and I crawled down another ladder deeper into the ship, so now I'm two decks into the ship. And I come around the corner, and a fellow sailor says, "Hey, you hurt?" And I guess I wasn't thinking too bright. I looked up at him and said, "No, I like crawling on the deck." And, of course, there's blood all over the place. And he turned me over, threw a tourniquet on my leg, and says, "I can't take you down to sick bay by myself. I'm going to go get some help." So he left, and I have no idea how long it took him. I think I blacked out a couple of times before he got back. And he brought the stretcher, and they strapped me in it, and they started to carry me down to sick bay. And the corpsman came by and says, "Hey, get that tourniquet off his leg. We don't want him to lose it." So they put me on the deck, and as he was untying the tourniquet, a rocket came through the overhead. So I'm two decks inside the ship looking out at the blue sky and figured right then we're all going to die. And fortunately, that didn't happen. And they got me down to sick bay, which was the mess decks, which I'm sure everybody knows by now. And I was on the mess decks during the rest of the attack. I kept blacking out here and there. And whenever I woke up, I remember they prepared for a torpedo attack. I remember hearing that. And I don't remember the torpedo hitting. I don't know if I was unconscious or I just don't remember. But I do remember prepare to abandon ship. And as I was laying there, I could remember, I don't know if I told anybody or I just felt it, but I says, "Leave me here. You throw me in the water, all I'm going to be good for is attracting sharks." And then I remember they said, "Cancel the abandoned ship." because they had secured the water from spreading. And I was on the table the rest of the attack and during the evening and all that. Now, my shipmates told me that they never saw anything from the United States until the next morning when the aircraft carrier and the destroyer came alongside. Evidently, no helicopters, no doctors, nobody to help the doctor on board. So my feeling is they were hoping we would be sinking overnight, and we didn't do it. I don't know how much you want me to talk, Dave.
No, that's great. We're gonna get another call here, Mickey. Just stay on the line here. We got we got someone from looks like Wisconsin. Is that right, Mike? Can you get them in? Patch them in.
Hi.
Hi, Murr. How you doing?
Go ahead. How are you?
Good,
yes,
thanks.
I just wanted to say I watched Sean Spicer's press conference yesterday, which I don't usually do on the web, to see if anybody said anything, you know. And there was one, I'm not sure which unit he was with, that asked if the president would be mentioning Tiananmen Square, which was 25 years ago on the 2nd. Of course, there was no mention of the Liberty, and I just thought it was very interesting. You know, that was the only question about any anniversary. And then today I see on my X-Quick search that that's all Internet and Talmud stream media news has is about Tiananmen Square. But what's very curious is, you know, how frequently Trump twitters on both his personal account and his POTUS account. There's been none since the 6th on the one and the 7th on the other, which is very unusual. So I think he's saying something by not saying anything. And that's about all he can do and still stay alive.
Well, thank you. You know, it's a disgrace that that it's gotten to this point, that it's 50 years of absolute treasonous behavior by these people who are supposed to represent us. So, yeah.
You know, there's something we can all do. We can all withdraw participation as much as possible, as soon as possible. It'll be different for each one of us. And we're all dependent on their Jewsery Mammoni, but no one has to choose to watch any of their media. Or consume
absolutely
music.
Correct. Absolutely correct. I haven't watched television in 26 years when my first son was born, and I gave something up. I said, why would I be looking at television when I have a brand new child here? It didn't make sense to me. And since that time, I have not watched it, and I refuse to.
Good for you. Wonderful. That's wonderful. But you know what? They're permeating the YouTubes. I think that's spelled YEW. But anyway, you have to really hone your spiritual discernment, like George Webb, for instance. You know, I mean, you've got to watch when they're really prolific and they're editing things and they're just omitting things. You know, they're just trying to divert you. Did he say anything about the Liberty? Nope. You know, I mean, he's all about supposedly tracking down and unmasking, but he hasn't done any of it yet. He's just, you know, takes up a lot of time on the web. And
you're absolutely right. That's why it's so important. It's so important for folks to go to usslibertymovie.com and make a donation. And this is the only way that we'll get the story of the Liberty out. That's it. Phil and I are ready to hit the road this summer and fall and winter in warmer areas. We already did that last year. We're gonna do it again, and we're gonna take this show on the road and get the funds we need to get this thing done. And we're not going to rest until it's done.
I want to say one other thing about participation. Stay out of the military, people. Don't go in there. Okay? You know, I mean, they're twisting your gender and, you know, with the media and everything. It's ridiculous. It really is the synagogue of Satan, serpent. I mean, look at Tex Mars and, what's his name, Eric Kahlstrom. Look at some of their work. You know, I mean, they really pointed out it's a lot worse than we think. You know, there's, like I said, like Webb and different ones, they appear to be on the up and up, but they're not.
Right about that, Murr, and we appreciate you giving us a holler, and thanks so much. I have to answer an off-air question, but thank you for calling, and hope you visit usslibertymovie.com, make a donation so we can get this thing done.
Alrighty, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. We have an off-air question. Ed from Utah asked, do you think it was an accident they scheduled the Comey hearing for today with McCain, no less? That's funny. I was thinking about that because I didn't mention it today, but I went to school with Jim Comey. We went to high school together, so I know him personally. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did that, if they put Comey in there to draw attention away from the Liberty. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised because all they have to do is ignore people. But let's get back to Billy, Mickey, because we have actually 10 minutes to go in the show. It went pretty quickly, but Mike is telling me that if we want to continue, the next couple of hosts have told him that they are at our service. Jamie Kelso is next for an hour, and Michael Herzog is on for 2 hours after that. If you want to take a break, you can take an hour off, then join Michael. You know what? It depends. Mickey, besides you, is anyone else there besides you?
No, Phil told me I'd be the last one. I got my boys are here, but they don't have much to say, I don't think.
Well, why don't you continue on with where we were before we took the calls? You know, you had gone down, but you actually, and I know this because we talked about it. You were thinking about yourself, you were thinking about your shipmates. That if they did, if you fell in the water. That you would be a shark bait like the guys on the USS Indianapolis.
Correct.
And I remember you told me something else. You had tried to get up. You said you were thinking, what would John Wayne do in a situation like this? Why don't you tell listeners about that?
Okay. Yeah, one of the times when I woke up, being the crazy kid I was, that if John Wayne was in my condition, he would have gone to his duty station and served it. I was in charge of the electric department, and my duty station was the generator room just above the engine room. So I tried to get up, and of course I fell on the deck, and a couple of my shipmates told me that they found me on the deck and didn't understand why I was there. I just told them, yeah, well, that's what John Wayne would have done. He'd go to his duty station. You got to do your job. And of course, the rest of the guys did their job above and beyond to keep the ship afloat. And there was another incident later on, too. I don't know if you remember, Dave, that I was telling you that somebody came by and stuck a cigarette in my mouth. And I've never smoked in my life and still haven't. So, again, I'm laying there and I'm thinking, what the heck did they do in the cowboy movies? When they put a bullet in the guy's mouth, you bite on it so the pain doesn't seem so bad. And I chewed the heck out of that cigarette.
Yeah. I remember that, Mickey. I remember that. Yeah.
It's amazing how the mind was just playing games with me, thinking about different things at different times when I'd wake up or after I blacked out and came to again.
Yeah, well, you were, like you said, you were in charge of the electrical department. You were only 22 years old, right?
Correct. Yes. I was 22 years old, and at that time... E5, and we were supposed to have an E6 in charge of the electrical department, but it didn't happen that year, that time. So there was a person in the communication sections that was E6, and they actually put him in charge, but he only knew communications. I was the one that was responsible for the electrical. And luckily, the guys that I had and the captain had trained us all good enough that they knew enough, somehow knew I was hurt, and they went to one of my men went to the engine room, the generator room, and took my position, and then they had somebody take his position where he was on the emergency generator. And because of that, they kept the ship going. That's why we're here today, because the ship didn't go totally dead in the water for any length of time.
You know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, there was some divine intervention. I don't know, you know. But whatever happened, thank goodness it did. And thank goodness, you know, you guys are there to tell your story. And how is it? How is it hanging out with the guys after all this time?
It's real great. It's great to see these guys. And, you know, I'm here today because they did what they had to do. In my opinion, every single one of them is heroes. I was a burden, unfortunately for me, that I couldn't do my job. and help them out. But every one of them did above and beyond to keep that ship afloat. During the war, it didn't take much to sink a Liberty ship going to Europe or coming from Europe back to the States to pick up supplies. And for some reason, that ship didn't sink. And you can call it divine intervention. I believe there's something that was watching over me and the rest of my shipmates that prevented that from happening. There's a whole lot of things I could tell, but there isn't enough time for me to go into detail why I believe that happened to me. I've told you about my weight before the cruise before and what it was after it, which was I was 125 pounds. Me and another skinny guy went down to the gym and we worked out, and I went up to 160 pounds, bench pressing 214 at sea, which isn't an easy thing to do. And when I was hurt, I actually went from 160 to 75 pounds before I started gaining weight again. So there's got to be something watching over me to keep me here today.
Yeah, well, like I said, whatever it is, thank you for doing that. And thank you for coming on, Mickey, and telling your story. And folks, you can read all about what Mickey has just talked about in Erasing the Liberty. And the way to get it, and I'll say it again, is go to USSLibertyMovie.com. And there's a bunch of buttons up there, a bunch of tabs, and you'll see that the trailer is there. It's a great trailer. It's only about 2.5 minutes long. It was filmed on one of these Victory Holt ships in Tampa, which Billy, Mickey, you've been on that.
Yes,
one,
I have.
Believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have. And
right, and also there's the About button, the Donate button, Milestones, Contact. Click on the Donate tab, and you'll see the various ways that you can donate to the movie project. Like I've said before, we're not doing this to make any money. I'm not. Phil isn't. Billy, Mickey, you're not on here because we gave you something to come on and talk about this. We're doing this because this is the right thing to do, and we're disgusted that it hasn't been done. And that's why we're not taking any investors for the project, because investors expect something back. We just want people to say, yes, here's a dollar, here's $2, here's $5, $10. While we've been doing the show, we've been getting some pretty nice sized donations, ranging from $10 to $250. So we really appreciate every penny that we get. Phil and I are both, I've said it before, parsimonious. Don't want to say cheap. I guess we are cheap. You know, we make sure that everything, every penny that is sent to us is used just for that purpose, to get this movie out. And the money just sits there until it has to be used, whether in the form of buying books or hitting the road, which we're doing now and which we're about to do this summer. So, Bill, Mickey, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to meeting you tomorrow. And if Phil is Phil's over there, if you could hand him the phone, that would be great.
You want Phil here?
If that would be, if you could. Thanks, Mickey.
Okay, yeah, one of my boys are going to go get him.
And, okay.
He should be here momentarily.
Oh, he's... sure, of course.
Gentlemen, incredible show.
Thank you, James.
Thank you. This is James Kelso. And I'll tell you, I offer you any time you want to come on the air with your story, just as John Stadtmiller offered you his hours today, my show is always available. So anytime you come up with something, just tell the board ops, tell John, and he'll pass it along to me. But you're welcome to any of my hours. I have 8 hours of radio each week.
Well, that's very nice of you, Jamie. And we will definitely take you up on that.
Because what you did, I mean, what you are doing, the movie, and then all the rest that you're doing, you say it much better than I do. That's why you ought to be on the air. It's, you're preserving for all time the truth about your story, which otherwise would be going into the memory hole.
We're not going to let that happen. We are not going to let that happen. I can guarantee you that.
Well,
thank you, Jamie.
Well, thank you so much,
Phil Turney. Thank you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just Phil Turner here. Thank you. Go to USSLibertyMovie.com, please.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.